As a part of this sermon time, I want to encourage you to get a piece of paper and something to write with, whether it's markers or crayons or a simple pen or whatever it is. Find a piece of paper and something to write with, to doodle with.
Okay.
Somewhere deep in the recesses of the Google Drive that stores all of St. Lydia's documents, I found one titled Congregants' Reflections on Our History and Future. There, one congregant who was interviewed said, "My hope for St. Lydia's is that we continue to live up to our name." And so I pondered that and I thought, well, it's interesting that St. Lydia's as a congregation has not typically celebrated the Feast of St. Lydia, which is kept at least by our Catholic siblings on August 3rd. It's perfect because our Lydian cycle of seasons offers a theme for each season. Fall, the season of challenge, winter, the season of contemplation, spring, a season of listening, and summer, a season of identity. And so it fits well to have the Feast of St. Lydia fall in the summer and to take up that opportunity to reflect on our identity. As we've shared in sermons the past couple of weeks, we've reflected on St. Lydia's architecture, like our congregation's architecture, and on its practices. And now today, I'd like to take up its culture. And as we do that, I want to take up this congregant's hope, turning it into a question for us. What would it look like for St. Lydia's to continue to live up to its name? I'll share a few comments about this long, complex text from Acts, which shares the story of St. Lydia. Shaped somewhat by my reading of Willie James Jennings' commentary on Acts that we were looking at during the Easter season as we used texts from the book of Acts for our main readings. And as I reflect on this text, just for a few minutes, I want you to take your whatever you have to write with in your paper and just doodle on it, write notes. Or draw pictures that help you reflect on your answer to this question. What would it look like for St. Lydia's to continue to live up to its name? And then in a shift in our style of sharing the sermon, what I'd like to invite is everybody tonight to share in a sentence or two or three, just briefly, your answer to that question. What would it look like for St. Lydia's to continue to live up to its name? You can, of course, pass. This isn't a you must, but it's an invitation for us all to share as a part of sermon sharing, all of us to the extent that we wish to share. So go ahead and doodle and just reflect on this question. What would it like for St. Lydia's to continue to live up to its name? As I just point out some aspects of the text, which I think are particularly, like if I had a highlighter, I would highlight these parts of the text. First, this is a story about two women, Lydia and an unnamed slave girl. It's a story about power, the power and economics of empire. It's about violence and incarceration. It's also a story of seeking God, prayer and song, and the power and economics of God, which lead to liberation and building community across differences. Lydia is named, which is not common for women in scripture, and she was clearly wealthy. She was a woman from the cloth dyeing city of Thyatira, which archaeologists show was a major center for the production of cloth, of dyeing cloth. But it wasn't on a main trade route, and it wasn't a Roman city. And so it's interesting that Lydia relocated to the Roman city of Philippi, where she could have perhaps a more thriving business, a business servicing this crossroads city and this burgeoning Roman Empire. In addition to selling her business, selling expensive purple cloth, she has her own home, the text tells us, and she is a God seeker. And after hearing Paul and Silas, she and her household are baptized, and she invites them. No, she prevails upon them to stay with her at her home. The girl is not named, which is common for women in Scripture, and she was a slave. A girl with a spirit of divination, she is used by her owners to make money through fortune telling. Yet she too is seeking God. And she calls out incessantly to Paul and Silas till they rebuke the spirit to come out of her, freeing her. After watching Paul and Silas free their slave, the owner's accusation echoes the horror down through history. Again and again, people in the Christian church have said, "These people are disturbing our city. They are Jews." I think we need to hear that in the story, an echo of so much harm that has happened between Christians and Jews. Then, in a scene like the arrest of Jesus, Paul and Silas are taken and stripped and beaten and thrown in prison. Yet in prison, in the midst of praying and singing hymns to God, an earthquake shakes the foundations of the prison, and not just Paul and Silas, but everyone's chains were unfastened. Rather than flee, they engage the jailer, who hears from them the liberating word of God, words that are liberating not just for the incarcerated, but for those who run the jail. And he takes them to his house, and he washes their wounds, and he feeds them, and he and his household are baptized. Paul and Silas, having been freed from the prison, demand a public apology, using their Roman citizenship to shine a light on the unjust violence and imprisonment they and the others in the jail suffered. And then when they are given the freedom to go, when a public apology is made and they're given the freedom to go, the authorities demand that they just straightaway leave the city. But instead, they return to Lydia's home to encourage the growing diversity in the fellowship there. One can imagine the former slave girl there at Lydia's home, and perhaps her family. One can imagine also the jailer and his family, Gentiles and Jews, rich and poor, all transformed by the Spirit of God, all brought into a space of intimacy and healing and liberation, all making church together. We share the sermon at St. Lydia's, and I want to invite now, not in any particular order, but just as you're ready, to either share a few sentences about your sense of how we can continue to live up to the name of our congregation, or to share, if you've drawn a picture, what it is that you've drawn in your picture. Whatever is it that you want to say in response to this wondering, what would it look like for St. Lydia's to continue to live up to its name, St. Lydia's?